The passage on the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11, verses from 24 to 26. Chapter 11, 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 3,600 branch churches all over the world, including the States, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries, including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuaries, and the members who are attending this service on the internet and all over the world, and TV viewers. This is the 11th session of goodness, and I will preach about that of Moses. 3,500 years ago, Moses led the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt into the land of Canaan. Korea was in bondage to Japan for 36 years, and it was not easy to become independent on our own. We received many helps from many different countries. The nation of Israel had been in the bondage of Egypt for over 400 years. They had to recover not only their emancipation as a people from domination of the country of Egypt, but they also had to liberate and secure their own territorial lands. God wanted to stand by and guarantee the promise He had given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them the land of Canaan, and when the time came, He wanted to fulfill His plan for their descendants. God chose one man to thoroughly obey God's commands and lead the people of God. That man was Moses. How was it that Moses was chosen to accomplish such a historical task at such an important time? Moses had an innermost being by which he could fully trust and obey God, and it was possible for him because his inner heart was so good. So, now let me explain to you about the goodness of Moses. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that the goodness of Moses may come upon your heart and you will be valuably used at the time of this world. Dear brothers and sisters, the first goodness of Moses that God accepted was that he chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He was born when the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians and severely persecuted. The number of the people of Israel was more numerous, and they were more powerfully increased than the people of Egypt. The king of Egypt was afraid of it and proclaimed a statute to destroy the Israelites. And I heard that there are many countries that are persecuting many Christians throughout the world. Dear Reverend Dr. Lee, I would like to ask you a prayer. The Canadian policemen are persecuting our African-Canadian Christians. Our lives are in danger. We need your prayer. We hope our Father God bless you and your church. It's not the communist country, but there is a country who are persecuting fine and good Christians throughout the world. Something I cannot understand. The king of Egypt was afraid of the ever-increasing people of Israel. So he made a doctrine, right? He gave an order that every newborn of Israel was to be killed. Due to this order, Moses was inevitably to be put to death as soon as he was born. But according to the word in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents were not afraid of the king. They relied on God in faith and concealed Moses. But 3 months later, they could not hide their child anymore, because the child's crying became loud. The mother put her child into a wicker basket and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Rather than letting their baby be slaughtered by the sword of an Egyptian soldier, they chose the way of expecting God's deliverance for their people. At that time, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the Nile and saw the basket among the reeds, and she had it brought to her. I would like to ask you not to overlook this fact when you read the Bible. Try to see how precisely our God is planning on something. After I was saved by our Father God, and since our church was founded, I have seen that many things have been accomplished precisely by our Father God. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, all the things were kind of, you know, already planned puzzle. Everything was performed and accomplished precisely. My Father had a plan already for his people of Israel and Moses, so he put everything in the Bible, so read it carefully. Moses' sister, Miriam, had watched everything and introduced the daughter of Pharaoh to Zochabed, Moses' own mother, as a nurse. Then Moses was raised in her royal palace as a prince. Set free of his people of Israel, somebody has to have some kind of power and an authority to deliver the people out of Egypt. So he had to put someone into that kind of position, and until he was ready to deliver his people out of Egypt. So our Father God led Moses to be adopted as a prince of Egypt. So when his basket was flowing on the Nile River, there was a reed. And then there was a princess, and her maids were bathing on the Nile River. And then the princess found the basket flowing over the Nile. So she picked it up, and when the princess looked at the face of Moses, that baby was so beautiful. The princess lost his husband long time ago, and she didn't have a baby, so she wanted to adopt Moses as his son. So, our Father God has planned everything and supervised everything so that our Moses could be adopted as a son of princess. How precise it is, you should realize it. It's not a coincidence. It's the plan of our Father God. The precise plan. It's not a coincidence. I emphasize one more time. And the princess was loved by her father, Pharaoh. By the exact work of God, Moses was rescued and brought up under the beliefs and in the faith of his own mother so that he could learn of the Lord God of Israel and the people who had been chosen by God. So the Miriam, his sister, was following the basket, and her brother was rescued by the princess of Egypt. But to feed Moses milk, the princess needed somebody. So the Miriam recommended her mother to the princess. So Moses could have right faith, and because his mother was so faithful, believing in God, so that Moses could learn about their forefathers. In addition, he heard of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promised land of Canaan that God had promised them. At the time, Egypt had a highly developed civilization, and the princes of that country had great power and authority. Moses could have continued to enjoy the riches, honor, and power for the rest of his life as an adopted prince at the royal court. Every day he could have enjoyed the best of all food, the best dresses, and the best life of royal family. He would have lived in a magnificent palace decorated with gold and jewels. A single word of his could cause many servants to obey, and he was treated the best wherever he went and assured of comfortable and stable life all his remaining days. Though Moses lived in such conditions, one thing always remained unforgettable in his mind. That was the idea that he never felt suited to that kind of living condition. He had heard of God from his natural mother, and the fact that his own people suffered greatly in the bondage to Egypt. And her words never left his mind at all. That's why he was neither delighted nor joyful, even though he lived in luxury and riches. Instead, he felt seriously troubled. He knew the law of God, and he felt each day's life in that royal house was sinful. Meanwhile, an accident happened involving him in which he had to abandon the palace of Pharaoh and flee into the wilderness. One day, he found an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people, and felt a furor in his heart. So he beat that Egyptian to death. As a result, he had to flee from there into the desert. There are so many accidents around Moses, but it was skipped in the Bible. The maid of the princess who adopted Moses knew the fact that Moses is the son of a Hebrew. But Moses was so beautiful and so wise, so that the Pharaoh loved Moses so much. So there are so many people who are envious of it. The real son of Pharaoh was envious of Moses. So the real son of the Pharaoh plotted an evil scheme, but it was revealed by Pharaoh. So the son lost Pharaoh's trust.
그러나 바로 그 왕의 왕자는 너무 성격이 좀 강하고 하기 때문에 그 밑에 저기를 선으로 다스리지 않고 매로 다스린다. 일 빨리 안는다고 때리죠.
The son was in responsibility to build the pyramid for the Pharaoh. But the son did the job with great force. And he put so much oppression onto the Hebrews, the people of Israel. But when the duty, the responsibility of building the pyramid was move on to Moses, Moses treated people with goodness, so the task was being done quickly, more quickly than expected. So the son plotted an evil scheme to put Moses into trouble. He made a rumor that he opened the barn door to the Hebrews so that to gather some pleasure of Hebrews. But that evil scheme was noted by the Pharaoh. So Pharaoh would like to set Moses as a king after the Pharaoh died. But the maid of the princess knew that the Moses is not the blood of Egyptian. And in that surroundings, Moses found his own people were beaten by the Egyptians. So Moses killed the Egyptians and fled from Egypt. If he had been easygoing and cared only for himself, not caring about anybody else, he could have tried to pass through the incident or pretended not to have seen the beating for fear of someone seeing him strike down the Egyptian. But as said in the Bible, he chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God rather than to receive the passing pleasures of sin. That's why he could not ignore it when he found his kinsman being beaten, even though it meant he would lose all his fame and honor given as a prince, the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. A sister came to me this morning and told me that I was appeared in her dream, and then she explained that she originally had a plan to marry, but I came up on her dream and asking her that, can you come to New Jerusalem after you marry? So she had to consider her marriage again, and she made a determination not to marry. Like Moses. This kind of heart of Moses was deemed to be good in the sight of God. Dear brothers and sisters, suppose a poor man meets a difficult situation, but he is able to overcome it because he has experienced poverty. On the contrary, however, if a rich man begins to experience poverty and financial ruin, it's not easy for him to overcome it because of the mental sufferings that oppress him. Moses had lived as a prince in the royal court for a long time, 40 years, so he had to have had a very firm determination to give up the position of a prince. You know the incident that a testimony which I'm giving you on the altar. There was a pastor in this church that he made a determination to do something for the kingdom of our Father God and for his shepherd. He sacrificed all other things to accomplish the providence of Father God. This pastor is so busy. He is so busy.
그냥 오라겠습니까? 이미 소문에 소문을 대해서 얼마나 참 은혜를 끼치고 통일 자복시키고 그리고 믿음과 생명에 주어진다는 거 이미 소문이 나 있기 때문에 여기저기서 청하는 거 아닙니까?
So many knew that this pastor is delivering the message with full of the Holy Spirit. So many missions and many branch churches are inviting this pastor because he made a decision to sacrifice all other stuff for the kingdom of our Father God. This kind of heart was considered good in the sight of our Father God. So our Father God told me that after the handkerchief prayer meeting in England, send him to Honduras, and after that, send him to Africa. Our Father God has a plan for this pastor. Our Father God is always true and always absolute. If you make a determination to do anything for our kingdom of our Father God, by sacrificing your own things, then our Father God is raising you and use you for the kingdom of his Father God. Moses made that kind of decision. Not only would he lose his own royal home, but there would not even be the smallest cottage for him. He also had no idea where to go. He immediately had to worry about daily food. He had to flee as a refugee who would have been arrested and killed if he had been found by soldiers. The book of Hebrews describes Moses' sufferings, the equivalent of the kinds of disgraces Christians experienced. So Hebrews 11:27 says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. What would you do if you were in the same situation as Moses? Can you give up everything that you have stored up without hesitation? Can you say amen joyfully when you have to abandon every position you have for the sake of Christ? What would you do if you were to be scorned and neglected and suffer shame for the sake of the Lord rather than to be honored and praised by many people? Can you obey if you had to leave your home and your beloved family and go to a foreign country where you cannot anticipate a time when you could return home? Our Pastor Lee Jae-ho is walking this path, right? Our Father God told me, send this son to Honduras one more time. Our Father God told me to send Pastor Lee Jae-ho to Honduras because he had the original plan in Honduras. So make it back to normal and go back to Peru. And then after Peru, send Pastor Peter Kim to Honduras so that he can watch it, how to operate those missions. Peter Kim was well educated under Pastor Jung Myung Ho. If you decide, if you made a great decision for the kingdom of Father God, our Father God will surely use you, because our Father God is looking for that kind of servant. So Hebrews 11:27 says, He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. After receiving my sermon in Peru, Pastor Lee Che-ho sent me a repentance letter. So he told me that he would go back to Honduras to finish his original job. When he did that, you just heard the letter from Honduras, right? There should be peace in the kingdom of Father God if you disobey and break this rule. Our kingdom of our Father God is not be accomplished. What would you do if you were in the same situation as Moses? Can you say amen joyfully when you have to abandon every position you have for the sake of Christ? Like Abraham, Elijah, Elisha, Apostle Paul, every people of Jesus Christ and our Father God abandoned every his own private things. They just run the road for the kingdom of our Father God. But they've never said that they're lonely, lonely. They didn't say that thing. They always accepted the road joyfully and thankfully. What would you do if you were to be scorned and neglected and suffer shame for the sake of the Lord rather than to be honored and praised by many people? Can you obey if you had to leave your home and your beloved family and go to a foreign country where you cannot anticipate a time when you could return home? Some missionaries make every effort to repay the cost of blood of the Lord with the kind of love and faith. But how about you? Some of the servants of the Lord complaining this life. I would like to ask him, did anyone urge you to go this road? You are the one who chose this path, narrow path. And you are making that kind of complainment. That complainment is going to displease our Father God. How distinguished life he has to live. He complained because he couldn't get rid of the worldly things. Because of that, he could feel solely lonely. A pastor serving the Lord in Africa has counted it as more valuable to lead countless souls than to enjoy the honor of university professorship. He has preached the gospel without resting a day, where culture, climate, and environment are unfamiliar. From early morning until late at night, some women missionaries who were sent to far and unfamiliar countries evangelize and make visitations every day. I couldn't neglect their efforts to make many visitations for the love of Saul and the love of our Father God. She wanted to. That's why I promised in front of you to help financially to build the branch churches in her area, to make the environment as climate as good as possible. With the financial support from me, she can buy lots of fans and air conditioners and that kind of stuff. And right after I said this, many branch churches all over the world are requesting my help. I can understand why those branch churches don't understand me, right? I've been struggling for the mission which were given by our Father God. But if there is a church who is growing fast and accomplishing the providence of our Father God, then I will support the church, even if I have to starve, because the church is seeing the fruits. I financially support the churches who are seeing the results, the fruits. Because if you like to receive that kind of support from every member of the church, show your faith and show your fruit. I don't have enough. I don't have enough finance. But think about this. The church has a potential to grow up. The pastor, the missionaries are working hard to save the lost souls for the sake of our Christ. And they are having difficulties in financial situations. So, what should I do? I would help. So, show me your faith and growth and fruit. If they had remained where they were, they would have lived their easy religious lives with high social position and comfortable living conditions. They would see their loved people as they wanted and live happy lives without them. However, they would not dare to turn their face from dying souls and our Lord's burning love for them. So they obeyed His calling and came forth as missionaries. God the Father will surely remember their dedication and efforts and reward them in heaven. However, some people prefer enjoying the pleasure of sin in the world, although they have crossed from death to life in the great grace of the Lord. They neglected the worship services and prayers that are fundamental to our faith because they want to gain the wealth and glory of this earth. Those who have that kind of heart should realize that they have no true faith or hope, and they are far from the goodness of Moses, who willingly selected the way of sufferings. Because I didn't want to hurt their feelings, I tried to advise them in very soft manner. Who's our Father God? Our Father God is helping you to pray and live a good Christian lives in this church. Could our Father God show that kind of evil things in this church? If your children are good, then would you, as parents, give them bad things? You will try your best to give them a good environment, best food, and best books. How could you see the evil things in prayer time and in worship services? That kind of gift was not given from our Father God. Dear brothers and sisters, the second goodness of Moses was that he gave thanks to God from the center of his heart when he suffered trials. Moses suffered trials after he left the palace of Pharaoh and attended the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, who was also priest of Midian. God the Father let me know what kind of heart Moses had as he lived there for that time. When he hurriedly departed from Egypt, he was at a great loss. After he settled down in the wilderness, the trials for Moses started in his heart when he looked back on his past. The walking the wild path was not an easy task for Moses. He had never been to a wilderness. He was just walking to the north, knowing nothing. There was no water, no food. He was about to starve to death. The blazing sun, the endless sand. He had nothing. He couldn't guarantee tomorrow. He was very thirsty. He just have nowhere to go. All he knows about he cannot come back. But there was God. Moses believed that God will direct him. So he walked. So our Father God supervised him so that he could get to the place, the medium place, where he could spend his next 40 years. The family, Moses, the family had so many daughters. But Moses lived so wisely because he was so wise, and he learned the very high education from Egypt when he was in palace. So he could get all the attentions from head of tribes around that area. But Moses married the first girl of Zidro because that was the place Moses settled down at first. The daughter was so honest, no greed, So that's why Moses chose that lady. And his refinement started. What do you think was painful to his heart? He considered himself as something, but in reality, he realized he had nothing and began to feel vanity and frustrations. He once lived in luxury at the royal palace. But now, when he found his hands empty, he thought of the vanity of human life. He came to understand that everything he had enjoyed was not by his own will, but only by the grace of God. So he could gain nothing unless God permitted. Unlike when he was in the royal palace, when he found nothing was gained by his own will, he considered himself as nothing and had no choice but to thoroughly humble himself before God. But he was never gloomy or pessimistic about his situation. He never abandoned himself. Just think about Moses. Try to put yourself into Moses' position. Moses was loved so much by his own mother and by the princess and the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. But he abandoned everything. He had to flee from Egypt. How did Moses feel at that time? But he was not pessimistic. He didn't abandon himself. He never missed the past and the luxurious life. He never regretted his choices. Because the way he chose was God-given choice. He believed that his Father God, our Father God, was with him. He believed that. So he didn't regret it. He did not look at his life negatively. He was neither frustrated nor sorrowful. Instead, he had a new point of himself, new viewpoint of himself in finding his true self. He was never disheartened, thinking, I'm nothing, but had a firm assurance of the existence of God, saying to himself, I'm nothing, but God is great. In the letters which I receive, they say that, please pray for me so that I can have the faith of faith. I can understand how many miracles and wonders have you witnessed? Where in the world is the church which is performing and showing this kind of God's miraculous signs and wonders in the world like this church? The blind came to see, the deaf came to hear, and the cripples stood up and walked. You saw those incidents and you witnessed them. In the Bible, you know that what kind of heart they got so that they were healed. You have the heart of proclaiming that our Father God does exist. You have witnessed that kind of miracles and signs. Many people of that kind of upright heart are being healed from those diseases. And you should have that kind of heart too.�
저는 한 가지만 이런 일을 하나님 역사한 걸 보았다면 사람을 통해 나타난 보았다면 저는 옛날에 바로 영접했을 거예요.
If I had seen one miracle before my eyes, then I could have believed our Father God. But you have witnessed so many miracles and wonders before your eyes. Now you are confessing that you started to have faith. That's something I cannot understand. Please forgive me not having the faith. Is it just the work of our Father God? This is the great powerful work of our Father God. Nowadays, broken bones are combined together is not even worth saying as a testimony, because many people are experiencing these kind of miracles. When he found nothing was fulfilled on his own, he fully realized that he could possess nothing and carry out no plan without the power of God the Almighty. He gave thanks to God from the center of his heart. He was thankful for his breathing, survival, and daily food. He was grateful for a place to lie down. Sometimes he had to sleep in the desert in the midst of cool dew for a short time, but he was thankful even for that brief rest. When he looked at the vast land spreading before his eyes while tending the flocks, he was thankful for looking at that land and being able to walk here and there upon it. He did not consider anything as his own possession. From that moment, when he realized the vanity of human life, a deep thanks to God sprang out of his heart. He gave thanks deeply for his stay. He professed from his heart that he could not even move more nor possess even what he was entitled to have without God. All the servants of God in branch churches, all the congregation should have this kind of profession. How many members of the branch churches are saying something to me? Please. There are even letters saying that, do we have to serve our servant of God in this branch church? Why should I hear this kind of news? Why should I have this kind of letter? I cannot answer those questions. I cannot answer the letter. So they know I don't write back. So they come to me, come before me, ask me, what should they do? And I answer them. Still serve them. Still serve the servant of God. Still serve the servant of God in Christ. Our Father God is looking at you and always advise him to go to walk the righteous path in our Father God. Please pray for him. Please advise him to walk the righteous path. Always love him. That was my answer. Many members of the branch churches are suffering. Even in this church, I asked not to gather money from congregation, but there are servants of God still doing it.
본인들 믿음으로 심게 하면 좋겠는데 이렇게 참 걷는 일이 있다 이런 일이 있다고 그래. 그런 일을 삼가 금했는데도 아직도 그런 대단히
I prohibited that kind of thing, but it's still happening.
어떤 행사를 한다.
It happens in local sanctuaries as well.
돈이 된다 이 말이야. 돈 재정부로부터 타가라 이 말이야. 재정부에서 없어 못 준다면 할 수 없다 이 말입니다. 없으면 못 하는 것이라 이 말이야. 두 번, 세 번 두드려 보고.
Try to depend on the financial department of this church. If the department cannot afford it, then just give it up.
축소해서 하든가. 아니면 정 못 하는 것이고요. 어찌 하나님 말씀 또 단에서
Just depend on our Father God. Do not depend on your congregation, the servants of the Lord in branch churches. If you disobey, that displeases our Father God. Our Father God is pleased when you obey. You have to obey our Father God if you can obey. Then probably the servants of the Lord will complain that Senior Pastor, you don't know my situation, how hard the situation is in this grand church. But I will ask back to that servant of Lord. What is the God you are believing? Isn't your God Almighty? I would like to ask. Your Lord, our Father, is Almighty. He has everything. If you believe and if you depend on our Father God Almighty, who has everything in this world, will work on you once you show your faith. I've been doing it. Whenever the financial department said that they need this amount of money, then I confess in faith, I will take care of it. Then God allows me to have it. You will be surprised how much I support this church financially. You know the handkerchief prayers are happening in Europe and Pakistan. We need to support them financially. But the financial department asked me because they are lack of financially. So, I said I will take care of it. Because I confessed it with my faith. Our Father God was pleased with that. And our Father God helped me to support that crusades and handkerchief meeting financially. Our Father God is Almighty. He can do anything. Do not just pray. Do not just pray. Show your faith before our Father God. Depend on our Father God so that you can receive the answer to your prayer. If you don't receive your answer, then fast. Then your church can revive. Our Father God will surely say that now you are depending on me. Our Father God surely will say so. Don't try to take your worldly thoughts and ideas into an action. Our Father God will not work on that kind of idea. Servants of the Lord, servants of the Lord in the branch churches, elders, please depend on our Father God with faith. try to be true servants of the God. Let me offer you his profession to God. O ruler of heavens, God, I used to be foolish, so I did not have any understanding of you. Now, as I watch the setting sun, I believe most assuredly the omniscient and omnipotent God exists. I have nothing without you, and I can do nothing without you. I am nothing. I am in vain without value. But you love me, a nothing, and you have called me. I believe the reality of you deep in my heart. You are there. He thought of God when he saw the sun rising and setting, and looked up to God when he saw countless stars in the sky at night. Through that trial, he came to have the assurance that God of Israel was not a mere character of tale, but the living sovereign. Through the goodness of Moses, Moses could believe our Father God. He came to possess the faith in God from within his heart, and his faith had improved year after year with the passing of time. He loved his people so much. He became certain of the reality of God in the midst of his trials, and looked at himself with the assurance of faith, so he could be thankful in every kind of circumstances. What did he say when God called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt at the proper time? From a human viewpoint, he hesitated to accept the command of God and seemed to have no assurance. Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He confessed this because he completely realized through the 40 years of trials that he was valueless and nothing. In that confession, he meant that he was insignificant and worthless and nothing. If he was in the position of prince of Egypt, then his profession would have been different. He would have said that he can do anything in pride because he had education of palace. But after the trials, he realized that he's nothing. He was humbled. He was broken down while tending the flocks of sheep. He was broken down pieces by pieces. He had beaten a person to death because of self-righteousness, but had become perfectly humble and lowly through trials. Because he was so humble, he thoroughly lowered himself when God called him. But he trusted God from the depths of his heart, and soon changed his attitude and became obedient to the word of God. You should remember that God deemed Moses to be good when he trusted God and was thankful for everything. Have you complained of your trial, saying, "Why should I suffer this severe trial? How can I overcome this?" Have you let your faith become confused and disheartened or frustrated? For 4 years, Moses had lived as nothing, tending the flock in the desert of Midian. He never became discouraged because nobody recognized him, but was humble and really thankful for all the circumstances and distances and situations. When he emptied himself thoroughly, God called him and gave him a great mission. Is there anybody who is not thankful for trials given to you, but envious and jealous of those who are used by God, although trials continue, because you have not been prepared as a useful vessel? Trials are given to those who have not prepared themselves as vessels for blessing, so that they can come forth as a vessel proper for blessing. If you complain and say the answer from God is too slow, you are turning over what is already a small vessel of yours. When a blacksmith makes a tool, he heats a piece of iron in fire and takes it out and then hammers it to a proper shape. If a piece of iron tried to avoid being hammered, that blacksmith could not make what he wants. The tool could not be made. A blacksmith repeats heating and hammering until he gains the shape of the tool he wants. Our Father God knows your heart. Our Father God knows your vessel. Our Father God tries to refine you so that He can have the proper vessel to give you blessing. So our Father God has to train you. Our Father God has to give you trial because He loves you. Once you have the proper vessel to receive our Father God's blessing, then our Father God will give you blessing. Our Father God knows the small vessel is just a small vessel. Even if He refines him, he will just be a small vessel. Then our Father God will give the proper training and trials. Then He will use as that proper vessel. Then he will be rewarded in heaven, even if he's a small vessel, because he went through all the trials as a small vessel. When it is in proper shape, he puts it into cold water that sets its shape. It is the same with our spiritual training. It says in Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. If you are in trials to become a better vessel, you are to remember the goodness of Moses. Thoroughly lower yourself and give thanks in everything. Then you will be in hands of God and become a good vessel soon. Dear brothers and sisters, here is the conclusion. I have preached about 2 points of Moses' goodness. First, he chose to suffer afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. It was considered good by God. Second, he was thankful for everything from the bottom of his heart while he was suffering trials. The reason I am so thankful is that I've been through these trials and I've been thankful for the trials. As Moses preferred suffering with his own people, I chose the way to suffer with you, brothers and sisters. The trials were so severe in the point of human beings, but our Father God knew it. So I was so thankful while I was in my trials. So after the trial, our Father God blessed me so much so that I can have this kind of power. I could change the salty water into sweet water. I could go out to the world and bring out many miracles and wonders throughout the world. And even CNN broadcasted, I was the most powerful servant of the world because our Father God was so pleased. You have witnessed it. I never complained. I've always treated evil with my goodness. I never complained. I've never made any excuses. I just endured all the evil schemes. I always treat them with goodness. Whenever they came before me and asked for my forgiveness, I always forgive them. Anybody who chooses the way of goodness, if he has a fundamental goodness in his heart. However, if he doesn't have goodness but understands what the goodness is and follows the way of goodness once or twice, keeping it in his mind, his good deeds will be built up and his heart becomes good more and more. When you receive trials to enter into the Spirit, the period of your trials will be shortened or be lengthened according to the attitude of your heart. Therefore, I hope all of you accomplish the same goodness of Moses and be thankful in everything so that you can come forth as prophet vessels before God. May you be preciously used at the end of time and gave great glory to God. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let us think over the passage, message, and pray. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Our Father God, Moses had grown up with faith under the guidance of his nature mother. He enjoyed the suffering with his own people than enjoying the pleasures of sin. We heard messages about 2 points of his goodness. We would like to be Moses. We would like to have a good heart. He was royal. He was loyal to. He was loyal in all houses, and he was thankful through all his trials. Let us be like Moses. Let our heart be like Moses' heart. Please bless us. I thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. When people marry, even the servants of the Lord, when they marry, they start to argue between husband and wives. There are so many people like that. Now, some of them make confession that they become happy now after they were broken down pieces. But before that, they've been arguing all the time. They married because they loved each other. But after the 3 or 4 months later, after the marriage, they start to argue each other. They just pointed out each other's fault. And sometimes there were reasons for arguing. Because the servants of the Lord are walking the unrighteous path. So they were just uncomfortable, uneasy with each other. But I always ask them to endure it. Be patient. Blessed are those who are patient. Because you love, don't ruin your family. Endure it. Be patient and advise and pray for each other. Then, when you're broken down into pieces and humbled down, then our Father God will work on your family and you'll be happy. But I'm thankful. Thankful for more people coming to me and confess their sin and repent. How good is it for you guys not to argue each other between husband and wives? You don't even love your husband or your wife. How can you love the congregation? We learn the goodness of Moses. Moses married to really good wife. If he married when he was in Egypt, then the wife in Egypt would have been fallen into misery of life. But Moses didn't marry. He came out to the desert of Midian, and our father God worked on Moses so that he could marry a very nice wife. His wife was even good too. Moses was affected by his wife so much. Moses' gentleness was above everybody on the creature on the earth. The lady who was in the palace of Egypt was so beautiful. She was so beautiful. But Moses had to depart with her. Then Moses came to the desert, and she met a lady who was tending the flock of sheep. And Moses married her. Moses had to tend the flock of sheep. Moses realized that his wife, the lady, was so good, so gentle. So Moses didn't need to go through trials because of his wife, because his wife was so gentle and so good. He learned how to pray. He could have hope for heaven. He could learn gentleness. He could learn not envious and not jealous. There was no jealousy and no envious life in Moses' family. So Moses could be humble and break himself down for 40 years. Because of his wife. But nowadays, so many couples are arguing each other. I feel sorry for all the man members and lady members of this church. You guys loved each other and married, and you are struggling, and you are arguing each other every day and night. So many branch churches are suffering because its pastor and his wife are arguing so often. So try to be like Moses and his wife. Let's pray. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body and receive prayer with faith. Hallelujah, Father God, please lay your hands on us. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit and the Most High Power creation burn all the internal organs from head to toe, the bones, joints, nerves, and cells. Please work on all the branch churches and the sanctuaries which are attending this service through our satellites, and all your sons and daughters who are now in hospital, and all the members of branch churches throughout the world. Please lay your hands Please lay your hands on the servant of the Lord in Honduras, in Pakistan, Idreskan. He is suffering from disease. Please lay your hands on him. Please lay your hands on work on him. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Satan, all the disease, go away. Let the shine on us. Many African Canadian Christians are suffering. Please lay your hands so that all the persecutions go away. All the persecutions and hardships go away. Please work on them. All the African Canadians, bless them. Please pour your power onto them. Pastor Andal in Honduras, please bless him. Please work on him. Please bless him so that he can have financial support and blessing. Father, bless him so that his church can revive. Please bless him so that he can have a wonderful and successful meeting and revival meeting in El Salvador City. Please, so that he can glorify your name. Father, he wants to set up branch churches. Bless him so that many souls can be saved through the branch churches. Father God, I thank you. Through our GCN, my messages could be delivered to the South America, JBN TV, throughout the satellite. All the South American countries are covered throughout the satellite. Please bless them. Please help and protect their homes, work, and business. Multiply their ties. Father God, thank you. Please help them so everything goes well without any interruption this week. Please answer their prayers, petitions, and desires of hearts. Please help them to enter the Spirit, the whole Spirit. Please bless our child. Bless your child. I thank you. Please be glorified. Please give us a good day. Please let all the people who are going to visit Muan Water to have better visiting to Muan Sweet Water. Please bless our Muan Church. Please make everything go well in this week. Please be with us. Fill them with the, fill your mercy and grace. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.